Just come down to town hall, push it here, and see if I saw it.
Good afternoon. I'm John Weingard, call the word of the 90th meeting of the New Jersey Highland Water Protection Planning Council. I want to welcome our new member, Mayor Bob Holtaway. The members of the clubs.
I'm Amy Letts, from Precipity in Morris County.
Bill Cocker, Mayor Chester Township.
Pat Schreier, Morris County Freeholder.
Mike Francis, Altadena, Florida. Kurt Olsted, public member, Chester Township, Morris County.
Jasper, about to talk about Hunterdon County. Tracy Curluccio, public representative, Hunterdon County.
And on the telephone?
Keisha Way, Freeholder, Passaic County.
This meeting has been advertised according to the Open Public Act. All who wish, please rise to the floor.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we go further, we're going to swear in our new member, something that many of the rest of us did.
We just blended in.
We're sworn in. Bob Holtaway has been nominated, confirmed. He replaces Michael Salabar, who resigned from the council during Bush administration. Bob, you want to stand up? Go to Congress, walk. You repeat after me. I, Robert Holtaway.
I, Robert Holtaway.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
Bear true faith and allegiance.
To the same and to the governments established in the United States.
To the same and to the governments established in the United States.
And in this state.
And in this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
That I will faithfully, impartially, and justly.
I will faithfully, impartially, and justly.
Perform all the duties of the Office of Highland Water Protection Planning.
Fulfill the office of the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability, so.
Welcome. And now appointed to the audit. We have in our packets the minutes of our last meeting on November 12th. What can you do, Senator?
Minutes?
I'll second that.
Any comments or corrections? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Stand.
An abstention? Chairman's report on it, nothing to report other than that we have a new member, and I think you all know we've submitted a transition report to the transition team. Yes, please.
Appropriate time.
Okay.
Today we're celebrating the 6th anniversary convening of the Highlands Council. Actually, it was yesterday, December 16th, 2004.
Didn't that be the very first time? Bye.
It's the first meeting of the 6th year.
Right.
So I think in and of itself, that is a significant achievement. Went back on where we were 5 years ago. We didn't think we'd get here. Just to let you know, somebody's paying attention.
That's good.
Everybody is grinning.
Committee reports, personnel committee, the only thing to report from that is that there is a personnel handbook for the staff that work here, and it has been updated to reflect new state policies and minor other revisions, and the personnel committee has reviewed it, and we're all comfortable with it the way it was, and so it will be distributed to the staff shortly. Move to the executive director.
Thank you very much, and
On behalf of the staff, we'd also like to welcome Mayor Bob Holtaway from Bedminster to join the council member. We'd like to have another council member to serve. I will be using a PowerPoint again today to take you through an update of where we are and the progress that's been made, which is significant since we last met. But before I get to that, I just wanted to bring your attention to one matter that is in your meeting packets. And that is, we were asked by Mayor Paradis of Lebanon Borough to lend our support, the council's support, to an initiative that he has been leading. And it is a broad coalition of municipalities that have joined together to ask NJDOT to designate Route 78 as a scenic byway. You have a letter of support, should you choose to do so, in your packet. Basically, 13 municipalities and 3 counties formed the I-78 Corridor Historic and Scenic Byway Alliance in order to petition for the New Jersey Scenic Byway Program for a portion of Route 78 between Pohatcong Township and Bedminster Township. A formal nomination was submitted by the Alliance to NJDOT Scenic Byways Coordinator December 12th of 2008, along with resolutions of support from each of the municipalities and counties, as well as letters of support from Huntsman Area Rural Transit and AAA Mid-Atlantic. Mayor Mark Paradis, on behalf of the Alliance, requested the council support and possible grant assistance into the future should they get the designation. Mary Jude had a while, or on our staff, Mary Jude's here, I believe. Mary Jude looked at the materials that were submitted to NJDOT and compared those to the regional master plan, which encourages the designation of scenic byways and calls on municipalities and counties to pursue designation of these byways where appropriate, according to the New Jersey Scenic Byways Program. And accordingly, because it is consistent with the regional master plan, the staff are recommending your support for this initiative. So that's it.
We have not done this before.
No, this is the first of this type of request we have received.
Would you like a motion on that, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I will move that we support this initiative.
And I'll second that.
Can I just ask what happens as a result of getting this designation?
There are certain protections that are afforded to the road to maintain it, the scenic nature of the road, such as billboards and things of that nature not being put up. But again, it's important the initiative started from the municipalities who govern that type of land use for their municipalities and indeed the counties.
Mr. Chairman, also, Route 29 along the Delaware River was the first scenic byway in New Jersey. And as a result of that designation, they used it to leverage funding for other things. And one of the things that they did, for instance, is they got federal funding for the purchase of open space adjacent to the scenic byway. So it was, and the fact that the scenic byway was in place and that was recognized by the state and actually was then nominated, this is a process of the USDOT, nominated at the federal level, it just gave them sort of a leg up in terms of attracting federal funding for open space. Also, I know it's used as one of the points when you're arguing why under Green Acres it's a good piece of land to preserve. Also, certain architectural features and that sort of thing, sort of like an historic district, go through review, but it really depends on the municipality and how they use it. It's a tool that can be used to in a greater way if the municipality or county wants to use it in order to leverage that into further regulation or perhaps guidance about scenic issues along the byway. Also, I know in Trenton, when they designated the part of 29 that goes into Trenton, then immediately the city was able to go in dedicate funding and have good justification for doing that to take down the old broken up chain link fencing and even the Garden Club of Trenton came together to replant. So it just is an attractive designation that then can jump into other things.
There are no regulations that specifically follow the designation.
No.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Bedminster Township Planning Board and Township Committee both passed resolutions in support of this. We were very disappointed. The Creek Board cared not to join. We were hoping that it would go up the mountain, up to the first ridge of the Watchons, but it failed, and the Bedminster's strongly support.
Any public comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
At this point, then, I would like to draw your attention to the PowerPoint, and what we're going to do is we're going to give you a plan performance update, and certainly there's a lot to talk about. We'll talk about a legislative update and some mapping updates to show you what some of what we've been working on, because we're now getting ready for the sort of next phase of our outreach program to municipalities. I'm going to focus today on plan conformance for municipalities, because that's where an awful lot of detailed work and analysis had to be done. The council staff worked under the direction of the Highlands Council, consistent with the original master plan, to prepare the municipalities such that they could be would be able to give us submissions that were consistent with the regional master plan, consistent with the Highlands Act, which mandated that for preservation area municipalities, conformance petitions had to be submitted to the council 15 months after the effective date of the act of the plan, and that date was December 8th, just passed. And if you look at the table over there behind Mimi and Bob, you will see the materials that were submitted to us, and those are some of them on December 8th. More have yet to come because some municipalities submitted their resolutions and said that there was more of the documentation to follow, but they wanted to make sure that the petitions arrived into the office on the due date. So the result is that we received on December 8th 56 municipal submissions covering 95% of the preservation area lands and 35% of the planning area. 395,660 acres in the preservation area and 153,942 acres in the planning area, and that comes to a total of 549,602 acres, which is 64% of the entire region. And we must be reminded that the planning area petitions and resolutions are voluntary. They are not binding until council action and municipal ordinance. It is required in the Highlands Act that any planning area wants to conform must do so by ordinance. So I'll go through the details of each of the municipalities as we go through the this PowerPoint. If you look at the map here, you can see the areas, and you can see that this light line is the line that splits preservation and planning area lands. So everything here in green, you can see the list of municipalities here. This map was released to the press on December 8th, shows the municipalities that did give us submissions on December 8th. And those, and it's difficult to see, but those that have asterisks are those that are entirely within the planning area. There were at least five municipalities entirely in the planning area. One municipality, the municipality of Highbridge, introduced an ordinance, and I believe it is that the municipality today is considering adoption of the ordinance. That's the first one of planning area only municipalities. Two submissions were received on December 8th for Parsippany, Troy Hills and Wharton that did not have resolutions with them. But all the materials, including Module 7, were submitted on that day. But obviously, they have not made their determination at this point. But likewise, those that did submit resolutions for the planning area are also not bound. And we did have this again on the map that we released that day. This map here, I'll just take you through it a little slower. Here you see the Highlands region, an aerial map. And you see preservation area lands, green, the outlying areas here are, of course, planning area. This now shows you the entire preservation area lands, and these two municipalities here are the only two that didn't submit petitions consistent with the requirement under the Highlands Act. Here, now in yellow, we're showing the planning area municipalities. The hatched one here and in here, Sydney, Troy Hills and Wharton, just to show that they did not submit resolutions, but did send in all the rest of the documents. That's for the seven modules for basic plan conformance. And here, the hatching going the other way is Highbridge, which introduced the ordinance and again will be considering adoption this evening.
going through it now, we'll go through it county by county, but again, we're looking at municipalities. Here you have Bergen County, and you can see the preservation area lands within Bergen County. These two, it's Moore Township and Oakland Borough. We received the petitions for preservation area lands consistent with the Act. And also, in the case of Moore, the petition includes for the planning area municipalities. So 55% of Bergen County, of those two municipalities, is in the preservation area, 45% in the planning area. Here you can see the entire acreage. For Moore, both, that's the acreage in Moore. For Oakland, just preservation, for a total of 19,391 acres. 100% is in conformance with the Act, in other words, the requirement for preservation area. And in total for the two municipalities, 87%, but the two municipalities did submit documents. Now looking here at Bergen. Okay, I apologize, we're moving on to Huntingdon County. Here you see all the municipalities of Huntingdon County. And preservation area lands are now showing. We received petitions with resolutions for all of, and you see down here, this is Huntingdon County lands here, for all of those lands within the preservation area of Huntingdon County. And here you see the municipalities in yellow that submitted for planning area as well. And again, this is Highbridge in the Hatched. Having a look at the figures, 50% of Huntingdon County lands are in the preservation area, the other 50% in the planning area. 100% municipal conformance with the Act for those preservation area lands. 99% plan conformance, 14 out of 15 municipalities. The 99% is the acreage. All but Milford, and Milford is entirely planning area. So all those municipalities did conform, or sorry, did submit their petitions for conformance. Also, I wanted to say that those, there are many planning area lands that still continue to work with us under the notice of intent, but they weren't required to submit anything by that December 8th date. Looking at Morris County, you see the municipalities, now you see the preservation area lands. All of the preservation area lands in Morris County did submit petitions for conformance. And here you see the planning area lands. Again, you see Parsippany Troy Hills and Wharton. They did not submit a resolution at this point. They are still considering. So here are the facts pertaining to Morris County. 44% of the county is in the preservation area, 56% of the region in the planning area, and no resolutions, as I said, from those two municipalities. But again, 100% municipal conformance with the Act for the preservation area, and 64%, 13 out of 32 municipalities submitted documents with 64% of the land base. So if you look here, 44% was required, but we ended up with 64% through these submissions. Passaic County. Here's a view of the county and preservation area lands here. Again, 100% performance for those preservation area lands by submitting their petition documents. And here you see the added planning area lands as well. Just want to draw your attention, Pompton Lakes Borough was the very last municipality to do a notice of intent, so they were somewhat, you know, behind in doing all the module work. They are planning area only. But they continue to work with us, which is an example of planning area municipalities. They have 94% of the lands in the Highlands region are in the preservation area, 6% in the planning area, 100% municipal conformance with the Act. And 98% of the Highlands region within Passaic County has come into conformance, 4 out of 5 of the municipalities. Somerset County. In the case of Somerset, there's only a very small preservation area lands that's up here. And we did receive, that's in Bedminster Township, we did receive the petition for those preservation area lands. And here you see the Far Hills Borough, which is entirely in the planning area. They also submitted documents on December 8th.
So they've only 2% of Somerset County within the Highlands region is in the preservation area. 98% is in the planning area. And we've received 9% conformance, 2 out of 5 municipalities. But again, 100% municipal conformance with the Act. Sussex County. Here you see the preservation area lands in Sussex County. Again, the entire of Sussex County municipalities, which lands in the preservation area, did submit for those lands. And we'll look here at how that plays out. In the preservation area, in the region, 54% is in the preservation area, 46% in the planning area. And we received, again, 100% municipal conformance with the Act. And 56%, so a little more than was required, have come in, 8 out of 10 municipalities. And the final county is Warren County. You see Warren County here, their preservation area lands. In the case of Warren County, here you see the area that's got the hatching on it. These are the two municipalities, Mansfield Township and Independence Township, that did not submit conforming documents on December 8th and have not to date. The rest of the municipalities did, and some areas within the planning area. So there's 39% of Warren County within the region is preservation area, 61% in planning area. Oddly enough, we did get 39% in conformance, even though it's not all preservation area, some planning area lands. 71% municipal conformance with the Act. So it's the only one of these that didn't have 100% municipal conformance consistent with the Act. 11 municipalities out of 13 did submit petitions. Again, planning area municipalities didn't have a deadline, and they continue, many of them continue to work under the notice of intent. The next deadline for them to consider, and it's not a Highlands Council deadline, it's part of our plan conformance guidelines, it doesn't come from the Act. But in order for them, if they're continuing to consider their options, and in terms of their COA planning, we've asked that they give us a draft housing element and fair share plan, because they are required by COA to have that adopted by June 2010. So if they're to use the Highlands Council numbers, we need to make sure that it's consistent with the plan, their affordable housing plan. So we've asked for them to submit that by March 1st, 2010. So the municipalities are aware of that. Many planning area municipalities will be making their decision around that time. And many of the municipalities submitted a petition just for the preservation area may still submit a petition for their planning area lands. And we know a couple of municipalities that have decided that at this time they don't want to move forward with their planning area lands. So we are looking at approximately 130,000 acres still considering conformance. One thing I did want to say is we've heard some municipalities with planning area lands talking about opting out. And what we're constantly telling them is they don't have to opt out. They have never opted in. It's just a question of if they don't want to make that decision now, that's fine. The door is always open for them. They can consider it at any time in the future. There's no requirement under the Act for any particular date. So the door always stays open for that consideration. It could be this year, next year, or in future years. But we constantly tell them that. Really, it's because they're using grant monies. They can just let us know a letter that, you know, they're not going to continue at this time. 18 planning area only municipalities continue to work under the notice of intent. Over 65,000 acres. They include Milford, Chesterborough, Hanover, Mendham Borough, Mendham Township, Mine Hill, Morris Plains, Mountain Lakes, Riverdale, Compton Lakes, Burnettsville, Franklin Borough, Hamburg, Alpha, Belvedere, Eisen, Phillipsburg, and Washington Borough. So they're still considering working under the notice of intent. So again, those are the municipalities that may let us know if they're not going to continue at this time. We wanted to give you a sort of brief overview of what happened to us. You see the documents that have been submitted. Our first course of action was to take these documents and take, we have electronic filings as well as, you know, by CD as well as the paper documents. So what we wanted to first of all make sure we could do is load these onto our system so that there's no danger of losing any of the papers involved, and then we can actually file them. So we've already started that work. The petitions were all submitted. All of these came across the bridge on December 8th. So it was one submission that was still in on December 8th. Tewksbury Township sent their resolution, I think it was at 11:26 p.m. On December 8th after their meeting. But they wanted to make sure that the resolution was into the Highlands Council 15 months after the effective date of the plan, as in the Act. And so indeed they did get it in that manner. So what we're doing, going to start doing now with the staff, is doing a completeness determination. So going through all these documents and making sure that they are complete. If there's any incomplete issues, we'll be working with municipal representatives to see if we can get any missing documents. Once a completeness determination is made, the materials submitted will be posted on the council website. So we have to go through them first to make sure we can get everything in order, and then we will be posting them. Within 45 to 90 days after that, the draft consistency review and recommendations by the really by the Highlands Council staff. This is an opportunity for us to look at them, see if they're inconsistent in any way, see if there are any issues. We know many towns have asked for prioritisation, so we're going to have to try and shuffle things around as well. And if towns have asked for it, as best as we can, to make sure we can get answers to them in a timely fashion if they have certain driving issues. We already know of some municipalities like that. This period also allows us, though, to work with municipal professionals before we bring it to council. Because if we see an issue, and we say to the municipal representatives, their professionals, their staff, their liaison, their governing bodies, that there's an issue, they may wish to address it before it goes to the council, so that by the time it gets to you, it's complete, and they've had an opportunity to address any issue. And if they do not wish to address that issue, obviously comes to you for your final determination. So we would anticipate that there's a municipal response period that allows them to address those issues before we go to public notice, a final report, and bring it to your attention. So once we've done that public notice, there'll be a public comment period, all the documents are posted. We'll take the public comment into consideration, make sure that that's taken into consideration in our final report to you. Then it's brought to you at that public meeting, and you make your determination on whether that particular petition is consistent or not consistent. You can approve with conditions, or deny. So that's the sort of the time plan for what's going to happen. So a very busy year anticipated next year for all of those reasons. The legislative update, at your request, you had sent a letter October 16th from the council suggesting two legislative actions which you have constantly supported. That letter was sent, and the two actions were the Highlands PDR program, looking for the opportunity to have receiving areas statewide for Highlands sending areas, and also for the extension of the dual appraisal program under the Garden State Preservation Trust funds. The Senate Environment Committee released Bill S2639, which authorizes any municipality outside the Highlands region to establish receiving zones for the Highlands TDR program. I went down and testified on your behalf before the committee, and that bill was released. So we look forward to further consideration of that bill and the potential of receiving areas throughout the state, which of course would be wonderful for our TDR program. Also, in response to the other issue that you would raise, the Senate Budget and Appropriations Committee released S1875, which extends the expiration date of the GSPT's dual appraisal process for green acres and farmland programs. So again, that's another one we look forward to moving forward, following the process and the progress, and testifying on your behalf when possible. Updated mapping. We wanted to show you a couple of the tools we've been working on in-house, because we anticipate that as we move forward with municipalities, there'll be new rounds of informational sessions for municipalities, where we go out at the invitation of the municipalities and talk about conformance, what it means, address the issues at a municipal level. So we're going to show you growth mapping and some use of LIDAR in the office. We've been using this for some time. This is CRISA data that shows land use, land cover change from 1972 through to the year 2000. You see here
the Highlands region in New Jersey. This is the New York Highlands region. We were using this, but we wanted to really get to a more refined level and to a municipal level. And so our staff worked on and bring it a little bit more up to date. We used this one recently in a presentation to Chester Township. What it does is it shows you in the red the change of land use to urban land use or more developed land use, and it can track it. So there you have it in 1972. And this really gets to the heart of why the legislature felt it was important to have the pass the Highlands Act to address sprawl and their concerns about loss of resource protection. You look here at 1986, and you can see in this entire region, you can see the growth of the red change of land use. Again, here it is in 1995. And the most current information we have is up to 2002. We have, of course, more current areas, but this is land use, land change information. So it brings us up to 2002. And we use this at a municipal level. We will be now moving out to municipalities because it does sort of show the change of land use over these years and the effect on the landscape, and then we can talk more clearly about natural resource protection and what this kind of development does and the impact it has. The other thing is you're all aware that we entered into a contract with the Army Corps of Engineers to do LIDAR, use of LIDAR, and this will assist us into the future in terms of looking at things like drainage areas. We've been using up until now, and currently we use, for example, 1,000-foot draining into lakes, but the use of LIDAR will actually tell us what lands do drain in, maybe in some cases more than 1,000 feet, maybe in some cases less, but it will be very useful. This just is a sort of an example of what you see here is an area, and it's sort of that flat appearance, and using LIDAR, you get that sort of depth where you can see here, this is actually a detention basin here, you can see the stream and an area here, so you get a better view using LIDAR technology of where those drainage areas are. It shows ridges, shows forested information like that. And in this case, we've only used this in two towns more recently, a LIDAR flyover, to give, when we're before a municipal audience and we're talking about their municipality, and we're able to use the LIDAR technology. Our staff did this using LIDAR. They basically draped areas. This is the best I can explain it because you'd have to talk to the guys down in GIS to really understand. They draped the areas using the LIDAR, draped the areas over it. And we're able to do a sort of a flyover. In this case, it's in Hampton Borough. And I'll show you, it's a great way to talk about where the center of a community is, where the developed areas are, where the areas are that, you know, that have been protected to date and maybe need to be protected more into the future. So this one shows you, if you watch this, you're in the borough of Hampton. This is their borough park. This is Route 31 crossing over the Muskneck on here. The red line shows you the municipal boundary. It certainly was well received in the two boroughs we've used it in. We used it in Borough of Hampton and in Highbridge. So it's going to turn now. I'm sorry, a little Disney effect here. I know you're on those rides. This is a fairly new development here on Junction Road. So you see this new developed area here. And we're going up. And again, you can see coming into here a more undeveloped area. And up in this region, there's an alpaca farm. So again, you'll see we're tending up towards the end of the borough. You'll see the red lines here delineating that. But again, they see the borough and areas they recognize and the open space that's still there in some of these areas, farms, open lands, and also, again, their developed landscape. You're going to do one of those turns again, so you might want to hold on to your seats. And this next... Our guys are getting, you know, better and better at doing this, but this takes us back over Pinestone Drive and Dutch Hill Road, and we're back over to Route 31 again, coming up to the boundary here. You can see there's a graveyard here for St. Anne's Roman Catholic Church. This is going into Glen Gardner here, so you're outside of the boundaries here, but we're going to turn again, go back into the municipality. And And again, you can see the sort of the center now of the area. You see Main Street here, Route 31 here. And we're heading back to where we began, which is up by the Borough Park here. So this is sort of our next generation. Now, we're going to be refining this to the point where we can... in the larger municipalities, what we'll do is we'll focus in on areas of interest. Because these are small boroughs, so it's a little easier to do it. But we can focus into areas of interest, for example, where they're looking at redevelopment opportunities, where they're looking at preservation opportunities. So that we, reading their documents that we've got in their initial assessment grant, information has been very helpful to us. When we go out to municipalities, we read it in advance so that we can talk about the issues that they're concerned with. And we'll use this kind of technology then to zoom in on those areas. In the case of Highbridge, we knew an area that's on 513 as you go towards Route 31 that they're looking at as a potential redevelopment. It's an already disturbed area with abandoned buildings. And so we were able to sort of use this technology to talk about that. And as I say, the towns were impressed with this kind of a look at their municipality. So that brings you up to date on what we've been doing, and I think probably takes us through at least a year's work moving forward, not even considering project review and the other things that we're still required to do. But that's where what we've been doing since we last met the council.
It's a good point. What Jack said before, we started this 5 years ago, it's an accomplishment that we have to do the plans.
We don't have any grants to bring before you today. The only other matter requiring your attention is the approval of the 2010 annual meeting. No, we didn't include that.
So we do have a resolution here with the agenda meeting scheduled for 2010. Someone might be introducing the resolution.
I'll move the resolution.
Second.
Any changes, amendments, problems? Right. Any public comments?
That's not on the comment on the resolution.
Yes. So. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. See what we're doing in 2010.
Chair. Yes. What's our plan in terms of reviewing the final language for the TDR deed of easements?
Easement language.
It was sent out to council members October 14th, and then October 15th at the council meeting it was brought up, and we then sent it to the Attorney General's office where it is now under review. So we're waiting to receive it back from the Attorney General's office. It had gone through 5 different iterations. And so if there's something a council member wants to bring to our attention at this point, certainly think that Tom could talk to it from the legal perspective of, you know, how these things change when they're being used on the transaction.
Right. I suspect it was not because it was emailed to us for months.
It was emailed because it was brought up at the last council meeting. And I explained at the last council meeting what had happened October 15th when it had been brought before the council. And then we had alerted you that if nobody had any issues or concerns raised at that point, it was going to the AG's office. And then John asked us just to send it out again. And so that's why it was sent out again. And that's also why I forwarded it, so you could see where it had been sent out to you previously, because I want to make sure that you realize that, you know, I do realize you've seen other iterations of it earlier.
Well, one of the concerns I raised was the fact that we had never taken formal action as a council to approve it, nor has the Highlands Bank, to my knowledge. And my concern was that
document that came out of this council without any formal approval. Let's set that aside for a minute. One of the things that concerned me in looking at it is that if I read this correctly, and certainly Tom or Eileen or Jeff, tell me if I'm wrong, if I'm a property owner and I have a home and I decide that I want to participate in this program, we'll say for the moment that it's not an I'm not going to have an agricultural deed restriction. I'm then agreeing to not allow any future development on the parcel. And when I look at the definition of development, that tells me that there can't be any division of the parcel into more parcels, no construction, reconstruction, conversion, structural alteration, relocation, or enlargement of any building or structure. So that means if the house burns down, I can't rebuild the house?
No, there's provisions in the deed of easement regarding uses that are allowable under the Highlands Act itself. Activities that are allowable under the Highlands Act, be they exempt activities or other activities consistent with the Highlands Act and the plan, are allowable. You can't look at just that one definition of development.
Well, that's why I'm asking, because I want to make sure that I can understand this, and then when people ask me...
Yes, so all activities that are consistent with the Highlands Act are so allowable.
So where does it say that?
Maybe I'll pull Jeff up to address this issue. The other issue is that where you do exercise an exemption, if you do choose not to exercise an exemption, you would be taking the development rights from the exemption off table as well.
So right, I saw that. If you choose to,
right,
if you were able to subdivide, or if you had an existing lot that had a home, single home exemption, you can get extra credit for that.
Right. So,
do you have anything to add, Jeff?
No, just, Kurt, with respect to your specific question about being able to expand it, under paragraph 6 on the non-ag easement, where it talks about existing uses of land, it talks about them being continued, keep maintained, and repaired, but not expanded. But then there's a provision saying unless authorized by, applicable Highlands Act exemption. So, for example, in the case of an existing home that was there in 2004 under exemption 5, it can be expanded. And so that would be incorporated here under this paragraph 6 and the relevant paragraphs in the other three model deeds.
That has to do with the Schedule D, then?
Correct.
Correct. And the schedule is identified what's existing on the property when that easement is signed.
I think I've got the right one here. This is the non-agricultural property with or without the bonus, or it's probably the same. Both. Or do I need to have the non-bonus one to get that correct paragraph 6?
Depending on the one you're looking at, it could be paragraph 6 or 7, but in the non-ag, not with bonus, it's under paragraph 6.
So existing uses of land on the property is identified on Schedule B may be continued, maintained, and repaired, but may not be expanded unless authorized by an applicable Highlands Act exemption.
Correct.
So what we're saying then is that that whole list of exemptions that are contained in the Act continue to apply to this piece of property. So they can expand the footprint of the home by 25%. They can rebuild in the case of fire.
That's correct.
They can go up in conformance with the municipal zoning. They can increase impervious coverage so long as it doesn't exceed the bulk amount of the increase that's permitted for an existing home.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you
for
that. Public comments?
We still will not act as a council on approving this language. I'm troubled by the fact that we have this coming out. I'm sorry to interrupt you with your time. No, you'll get your full 3 minutes. I assure you. Maybe a 30-second bonus. But I am troubled that something like this comes out. It hasn't had a formal approval for this. And that process really troubles me.
I can speak to that because from the experience of other entities that have modeled deeds of easement, they are exactly that, the model deeds of easement. If the council wants to approve a model, it should know that it's very likely that this has happened in other preservation programs, that landowners will come to the council with suggested changes to that model deed of easement. So if the council wants to approve a model, it's just approving the model. That individual transactions will certainly bring about specific language and suggested language, which we will review at that time. So if the council wants to approve a model, that's an approach, but actual language changes are very much anticipated.
So then this is just a model, and when it comes, when the rubber meets the road, the final agreement will be individual to that piece of property.
We very much anticipate that. That's the practice that has occurred through all of the state agencies, that the model improves over time, potentially, and that particular circumstances may dictate particular changes to the model.
But specifically to the piece of property.
Correct.
It's a more or less customized off the model.
Correct.
So that would be being the lawyer for
correct
the islands and the lawyer for the applicant.
That's correct.
Okay.
And the role of the Attorney General's office in this is just
needs to approve the model.
That it clears legal muster from the state's perspective.
Correct. Thank
you. So then this model could drastically change depending on the application.
Yes, we hope that the model will retain some integrity, and that over time will improve it, should there be suggestions from particular landowners. But there may be particular new conditions that are associated with a particular landowner without that.
Well, some land is peculiar, and so it would have to be customized.
Yes.
Well, there may also be provisions that come to the council's attention through individuals that would need us, as you said, to amend the model.
Correct.
But you brought this up before about the council voting on it, and no one else has ever expressed interest in voting on it, but we could. I mean,
well, I think it might be important. I mean, if people come to us and they say, well, you're on the Highland Council, and I have property and I'm thinking about this, can you help me understand it? And what part of you are you? Mm-hmm. If we're not a part of it, then it's harder. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
I do, yeah.
But we have to take responsibility for that, whether we like it or not.
Okay. Right, although it is only a model.
Right, but it's a model that sets a precedent.
Perhaps the timing, though, would be after the AG's office gives the blessing, because if we work on something and approve something and then it's changed by the AG's office, sure, then we have to do it again.
Well, that was the process.
Right.
Well, we've never talked about the process. That's why I keep bringing it up, because okay, no one to this point has ever said, when it returns from the AG's office, we are then going to vote on it to formally release it. And I guess my experience is one of citizen oversight. And when you talk about these amendments to specific tracts, I think it's perfectly appropriate to negotiate specific deeds of easement on a specific tract. But in the case, for instance, the Farmland Preservation Program, there's citizen oversight. There's a County Ag Development Board that's appointed by freeholders, that oversees these contracts, that approves each one before it goes into place. And so then my reply would be, who's going to have the ultimate authority to approve? And you know, I'm very consistent. I'm troubled by a lack of citizen oversight here, because I think that's why we were appointed, and I think these things should be overseen by citizen oversight.
Well, like I said, if we were going to take a vote on this, we shouldn't do it today, because we're going to have the council. That's just to do a straw vote of how many members of the council would like to vote on this. Consider voting on it at the next meeting.
Well, that makes an important point.
So,
well, really, when it comes back from the AG's office.
Yeah. Well, is that what you want? Okay,
sure.
Well, it'll sort of be, I mean, there may be some change in membership for the council. So the council could always do that. I think, unless you say differently, I think it's unlikely it's going to come back from the AG's office until the new administration.
We had asked for it to be completed in this month, so we're still hopeful of that, then maybe January.
So, once it comes back, the council can bring it up for discussion.
So we'll notify you when we get it back, and that the Attorney General has already changed his remote type.
Some questions about deeds of easement once this is completed. Who's responsible for filing? Then we have to file these with the county. Does this supersede the original deed on the property, or is it an amendment to?
The bank will be responsible ultimately for filing the deeds in those particular cases. The council develops the model, but the bank is going to be responsible for tracking all allocations, determinations, and deeds. Exactly. They're going to be the clearinghouse and tracking entity for the CDR program.
And they'll have to file these documents with the clerk. Now, will somebody notify the municipality and the county?
Yes.
I have another question. Sorry, you came up as quickly as you did.
I can leave.
You can do whatever you want. You have special, you're festive, you're experienced. The ID of the growth areas, we were mandated in the original act, and I'm paraphrasing memory, but I believe it was 4% growth area. We have not done that yet, correct?
No, we did do it. It was a goal of 4% of potential receiving areas within the planning area. And we did do it. It is in the regional master plan adopted. Consequently, the bill S2639 that was voted out of committee actually had in it that we didn't have to do that, but we actually explained that it was done, and that was removed from that bill. That is part of the plan.
So in here someplace,
in the regional master plan,
4%, so I just got
going. The goal of 4%, and it tells you exactly how many acres were shown as potential receiving areas, given the fact that we cannot determine, we can say there's potential, but only a municipality can determine if they wish to grow. And so that is all in the plan.
What was the total percent we roughly?
As I recall, it was 2.8% or something around there?
2.7,
sorry, I was off.
So as it stands right now, that unless this bill is passed by the Senate, the only place that can receive development credits is that.
No, in fact, those aren't receiving areas. They are areas that we have shown to have some potential based on criteria we look at, like such as existing community zones, infrastructure. But an area can be a receiving area, and we have 11 municipalities, for example, who are studying it. If a municipality desires to be considered, they go through the feasibility, but it is absolutely not restricted to those areas at all.
And is there any place right now that is a receiving area?
We have no established receiving area today. We have, as I said, 11 municipalities studying.
So the only hope if somebody wants to enter into the TDR program is selling to the bank, and the bank's going to hold on to those credits because there's nobody else to buy them right now.
At this moment in time, that is correct.
And do we have any statutory deadlines or anything in place for when these receiving areas must be identified? Like just, thanks for the cues back there. You're helping me.
They are identified, but now it's up to municipalities to express an interest, because any growth within the Highlands region is municipally focused. They have to decide if they want growth. We assist them. We have incentives. What we had spoken to you about before was the fact that through the conformance process and the municipal build-out, we will see where there is extra capacity available. And certainly we will be working as we go through this documentation to focus in those municipalities to alert them to potential should they wish to, to take that further. But we will be able at least to guide and say, here is where we see, we've looked at that limiting factor analysis, we see opportunity. But it is again up to a municipality whether or not they want to designate a receiving area.
But all that you've said, the 2.7% applies within the preservation and planning area, not within the rest of the county.
That is correct. And so again, we were very, if you recall, the first time we did the analysis in the draft plan, it was a broader scope, and there was much concern about it, about municipalities saying, wait a second, this isn't what we wish for ourselves. We restricted it in the final document under your direction to looking at areas where we actually did an analysis of looking at infrastructure, looking at existing communities. So
And that's how we did that analysis, just to show some potential. But it's in no way limited to those areas. And we also see the opportunity for small-scale TDR. We're trying to encourage that because people have an idea that TDR is huge density and huge projects. It may be, and I know of one at the moment where there's in this part of looking at an old shopping center, and they're considering using TDR to have extra density going up so that they can have people in and more for like a tiny center. That's a project, it's a small scale one. So we're trying to see opportunities other than the huge ones for smaller scale type TDR seating areas. This bill, if it's passed, obviously makes a huge difference to us because to have an opportunity statewide really opens this program. But we do anticipate, even if that would occur, it will take some time before you actually create those receiving areas as it did in the Pinelands.
Which then goes back to the bank buying credits. They're only being, I believe, $10 million in there right now, which goes to the state budget, funding, and everything else. Because if this ends up being one of the main ways that people can extract their asset value, their loss of equity, as a result of the master plan implementation, there could be a lot of demand. And $10 million would go too far.
Well, and we're actually testing it out right now because the program is up. The HDC estimated tool is available on the website. If you recall, I think we showed it to you at our last meeting, and we did release it in November. Thank you. And so we released it, and so we've actually gotten in the first requests on that. So we're going through those in-house, and that will give us an idea of how many applications we've seen. Those that the HDC estimator tool only deals with residential properties, so people can fill out documentation if they have those properties that are not residentially zoned. And we've received one of those, I know, to date. So this we the bank said that priority would be given to those who had failed to get exemption number 3, as is indicated in the Highlands Act, and also those that were suffering financial extenuating circumstances. So, but nonetheless also decided to open it up fully so that we could get an idea of demand. So I think we anticipate in January, as early as January, we will be able to tell you. We did receive an inordinate number of hits on the site. I think it was
342. 402.
In November on the site, and we've been receiving applications since then. So we'll be able to give you a full report out and a better indication of demand for that program. There is, of course, if the GSPT, through the extension of that, and if indeed the dual appraisal period is extended, that is another opportunity that landowners may. And we've looked at the cost associated with the TDRs as established by this council compared to farm preservation and green acres transactions. And in some cases, we see that the landowner may find it more desirable to use the TDR at the rate we've established. In other cases, it might be one of those preservation programs. So those options hopefully will be there with that extended dual appraisal period.
And the hardship cases that you're considering right now, is the bank determining the eligibility for hardship cases?
The council in Highlands, the HDC allocation determination, the council staff and from your oversight will be determining both the number of house development credits and whether they satisfy the hardship criteria. The bank will be then have an open period for all the hardship cases and decide which ones they can fund.
So
based upon available funds.
So the hardship case determination is something we've delegated in one of these resolutions we've done, which I voted against. And what is the appeal process for somebody who has a hardship case? Say the staff determines that this is not a legitimate hardship. What's this person's next step? Does this person come to the council and say that I want to formally appeal?
Certainly very well could do that, yes.
And that's outlined clearly to these people that there's an appeal process?
There's two processes. One is there's a request to reconsider a staff decision initially, and then should that reconsideration respectfully be denied, the council would be the next step.
had something else.
Okay. We'll let Julia start. just to go back to the initial point, so once we get the easement language back to the Attorney General's office, we brought it to the council, we have something to decide then whether or not it wants to take action, the action will be. And I do want to acknowledge Ken Clipsey from the HBC. The other council members representing the public to begin.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. Just to continue that discussion, one comment. You have forgotten that there may be private investors who will be interested in purchasing Highlands Development Credits. That fact has been the case tremendously in the Highlands, where I understand that realtors are the largest holders of Highlands Development Credits.
We haven't forgotten it, and we forgot to mention, I do apologize, but certainly Jeff is on top of that, and that actually I've spoken to some people who may be interested in investing.
Right. So the point is, it's not just the $10 million that the state has given the council for hardship cases, the market may be larger.
Perhaps.
May be larger. I wanted to congratulate you, because I think 64% of the region is a remarkable achievement. And I think that the council staff and the council should be extremely proud of having done that. But we have that March 1 deadline for all of the planning area, really, because any planning area community that approved a petition to conform may change its mind. So certainly we will be working hard to try and make sure that those 18 towns do come in and that none of the towns that have come in go out. But that's very important. And I just wanted to say the LIDAR is amazing. You don't need to go watch Avatar and James Cameron. You can come to the Islands Council. Pretty remarkable. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Just quick. Have you been asked to appear before any of the transition committees? Do you expect to appear before any?
I let the transition team know my availability because I apologize, but I planned a vacation. And I am on hold for Monday morning for the environmental transition team. And I have been in touch with the authorities transition team. They received the initial report for transition from the Highlands Council, and they asked, which was based on information we were requested to put together. And we were then asked for supplementary information, which we did deliver down to the, we made sure that we gave some sufficient, we were asked for the authorities transition team, and a copy of the same for the environmental transition team. That is to date all the interaction we've had.
Tom, come for you, you're away.
That is a possibility, but I've requested that if they want to meet with me, that they do it in the time frame that I think.
Chair, are you going to be here with you? Are they pretending they don't exist?
I've had conversations in my capacity, not in my Highlands capacity. I requested that by my capacity. Thank you. Other public comments?
Good afternoon, my name is Purcell, New Jersey Department of Agriculture. I actually have a question and a comment. My question, and it might be a silly one, but I'm a little lost in the process. The petitions that are submitted now, there's a consistency review, and then there's a consistency determination. The modules that contain like the ag plans and the more specific plans, when do we look at those? Are they part of the module that's already been required to be submitted? I'm just a little confused, but is that module 6 or?
No, these are the basic 7 modules that you find on our website for what we're terming basic plan conformance.
Right.
There's an awful lot more that comes afterwards.
Okay.
At this point, these are all based on templates that we gave to you.
Right.
Well, modules 1 and 2 are that build out analysis.
Right.
And 3 is the fair share plan.
Okay.
4, 5, and 6, and 7, which the petition itself, are all based on templates what we have here are the resolutions. We have all of those templates. We will attract changes in them that have been requested, so that if they've got deviations from the templates, they'll be in here. And we also have, sometimes in terms of resolution, but mostly in their municipal self-assessment portal and their cover letter, towns may have raised issues of concern. It may be regional master plan updates, which is factual information, changes they're requesting, or map adjustments. So we'll be going through all that, but there's a great deal more that comes up.
Right now.
Yeah, okay. It will be much more detailed in terms of the kind of things, like, for example, clustering.
Right.
And how that's done. It is handled to a limited extent.
In the land use ordinance.
Right, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm clear then. I didn't want to miss anything.
You didn't miss anything.
Okay. Thanks. And the second comment I have, I wasn't able to attend the meeting last month, but I did want to publicly thank the chair for his commitment and dedication over the last 5 years. I think you did a wonderful job in a very difficult task, and I just wanted to say that your efforts are most appreciated and you'll be missed. Helen Heinrich, New Jersey Farm Bureau, ditto and ditto. Appreciated working with you, John, and I miss you very much. We are also concerned about the details. And it sounds like we won't be getting to those perhaps until after May, because 60 days for completeness, and then another, is it another 60 to 90 days for 45 to 90 days. But we're concerned, like Monique said, about what happens with the ag retention farmland preservation plan and some of those other things. It looked from some of your documents that this could be coming up in the master plan and the land use ordinance. And we're going to be watching to see if they do bring that up, because it's a very critical part in terms of supporting agriculture. I'm kind of alarmed to hear what Tom says about deeds being open to change. We would, after five reiterations of that and all of the massaging of the language, we would fear very much that some landowner or possible buyer or town or something might want to change and make some of those abilities stricter than they are. And it seems like they shouldn't be able to make it any stricter than what we've all discussed over all of these weeks. I hope that, you know, when you finally get them back, this will be part of your discussion about that. I mean, if that's not the case, then it looks like any time a deed is drafted between the parties, there's an opportunity for everything that we hope is there for the agricultural landowner anyway is up for discussion again. The last thing is the LIDAR. I guess I didn't get what was the date of those flyovers. And would it be possible to use that mapping to calculate the density? Because it seems like you could fly over a town and say the overall density of this town is X units per acre. Fly over another part of the town and say, contrary to public opinion, you have 1 to 7 70 acre here, and you still consider this a historic district or a very valuable part of the town. And I think the public really needs to understand that density is relative, and we have got to do something to educate them about that. It's never going to get anywhere. We see the areas. To propose Chester Township. In connection with the TDRs, I'd just like to ask this council whether
Your hardship purchases will also be at the 17.5 cents on the appraised dollar, which is really appropriate for somebody in a hardship situation. For the new folks here, that 17.5 cents is the appraised value minus the 30% discount of a double counted infrastructure adjustment, and then discounted another 75% to make them more attractive to developers. That is in the regional master plan. In connection, I would like to answer that question, please. In connection with grants, I would just like to point out that this council would be defying the governor-elect's number one request in his December 16th letter to Governor Corzine to put all municipal grant money in reserve. It was number one. Our state is peering down a 10-figure budget deficit hole, and it appears that this council is fiddling with LIDAR technology so that cool movies can be shown in these meetings, the essence of excessive spending. I too am concerned and confused about the easement discussion here today. I agree with Mr. Alstead that this council must adopt an easement so that there is at least an equal protection understanding going forward. On the other hand, I was intrigued by Mr. Borden's concept that this is just a model that can be negotiated. Several years ago, I provided in one of these meetings a copy of the Pitkin County deed easement to this council. The Pitkin County, Colorado TDR deed easement is one sentence. It basically says there shall be no more development, and any restrictions would be in accordance with their TDR resolution. The TDR deed restriction here should be one sentence. It should be that we have sold our development rights and all restrictions are pursuant to the Highlands Act. Equal protection for everyone. So, if this is nothing more than a model, then I assume every landowner will have the opportunity to sit down and negotiate that one sentence deed restriction. And if you haven't taken an action, if you haven't adopted a model, an actual deed restriction, that's fair game. Correct, Mr. Borden? Thank you very much.
Well, the Florida Rangers and Conservation Foundation. I guess I'm also, I guess my comment and question was that I would like to make sure that the conservation restrictions would be posted on the web, the HDC Bank website, I guess it would be, prior to them coming up for discussion at any meeting here. I think that, you know, they've been around, they sort of changed and so forth, but I think that, you know, we need to know precisely what the committee would be voting on, the council would be voting on prior to the vote. I do have some concerns about the concept that it's just a model. I mean, I can see you would add specifics about the property itself, where it is, and the description, but it, as far as the restrictions, I think that, you know, they shouldn't be negotiable. But we'll have to think a little bit more about this. But I don't think that was the understanding when we started to work.
David Shope. I have a farm in Lebanon Township, and I do recall when Debbie Post submitted her document that she got from Pitkin County, Colorado. What you're selling is a development credit. That's what you're selling. You're not selling anything else. The language should be very easy to understand. And when I heard Mr. Borden and one of the council members, I think maybe you heard, talk about this lawyer will talk to that lawyer, I'm thinking hundreds of dollars an hour, because that's what you pay for a lawyer. To negotiate something, they should really be very simple, very straightforward, and understood by everybody. what you're proposing here is the sharper lawyer winning, and the sharper lawyer is the more expensive lawyer. And of course, the first TDR credits that you're going to be purchased are from those who qualify as being disadvantaged. This is crazy. This act is crazy. And when you have Borden and Swan talking as members, as staff members of the Highlands Credit Bank to you, the Highlands Council, it makes a mockery of any thought that there may be independence between these two entities. It's a situation, quite frankly, that I see under the current circumstances as hopeless. I would also ask, want to ask you why, when you mailed out the Hank Lump and Dipping Post applications for TDR credits on their property, I didn't get one. Am I being discriminated against? Or is my property, according to your assessment, undevelopable? Thank you.
Rubit, New Jersey Highlands Coalition, and I'd like to thank Council Member Holtaway for volunteering to take on what I've witnessed to be could be a very challenging responsibility. My experience with you as a public official, that due to your integrity, sound judgment, and keeping the concerns of your constituents close to your heart, that the citizens of the Highlands and New Jersey will benefit by your participation here. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Dave Piper, Highlands Project Director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. I'd like to speak to two subjects this afternoon, one of which came up today. That's the subject of the easements for implementing the TDR program. I'm also concerned with this notion of model easements being modified, changed by applicants or purchasers, in particular with regard to changing the price value of the easement. If the modifications are of such an extent that they actually change the value of the easement, then you open up the wonderful box of the cheapest ones always going first. And that is not necessarily what you want to be about here. I think you need to control the degree to which easements can be changed from your model. This is not quite the same thing as a voluntary donation of conservation easement. This is a matter of real financial consequence and a matter of real planning consequence for the region. So I think you need to think about that a little more, perhaps. The other thing I wanted to bring to your attention, pretty soon I think you're going to be looking at a Highlands applicability determination for the Northeast Cutoff Railway project, which will run basically from Andover Township to Port Morris. The subject I want to bring to your attention is the fact that these old rail lines were filled and graded with coal ash to a great degree. Coal ash has been known widely and well to contain various pollutants, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, just for fun we can call them PAHSs. As well as heavy metals. Because this rail line route involves a close proximity to water, I would request that your review contain a requirement for determining whether these things are present in the fill that's going to be disturbed as part of the project, And if so, whether or not those materials have migrated to area wetlands and water bodies since they've been there since 1901. And then finally, how are the constructors going to control further releases in the form of runoff, water, and dust if these materials are present? So the first thing is to determine their presence or absence. You must do that as part of your recommendations. We'd be making the same recommendation to the DEP as part of this project. And for any rail reactivation project. Thank you.
I have a comment on it together. I'm encouraged with our progress on pursuing the key lines at a statewide level because, quite frankly, if this doesn't work, then this plane ain't going to fly. The TD guards are probably the most integral part, in my opinion, of this whole concept in making effective people preservation home. And so, you know, it's a good start, but I cannot overemphasize how important that I think it is that we continue to tweak it in the sense that when we get the values and when we get the description, these are all very important issues as we move forward. And I don't see anything that we're doing that's going to be part of granted. And so, but we need the flexibility and the we have to have the integrity also to recognize something that we need to revisit if we have to. And so what I'm really saying is that as we move forward, just because we think it's done, it's probably not. And so we need to have the ability to keep revisiting that and keep honing that to make it right, really. It's critical to the state, it's critical to our area, and you know, in these hard economic times, you know, municipalities, counties, and individual property owners are not in a good position. The only good news is that as we make opportunities available for investors, maybe they'll take some money out of their pocket and utilize some of these TD bars to develop areas that need to be redeveloped and increase that density by using the TDRs. I think that's one of the basic premises that we're using the TDRs for, at least in my experience in planning and whatnot. I believe there's some great opportunities to take an area of town or a town center, and again, a critical hitch point is going to be making it statewide. We really, really need to pursue that and lobby for that, because that's going to give us more wonderful opportunities in our area. If you look at the preservation area and the affected county, there's not a lot of opportunities economically to really utilize these TDRs, and I think they'll really increase in value to developers and investors as we move statewide. So it's really, I cannot overemphasize how important that is.
This is our final meeting, not only of the year, but of the Corzine administration. So next meeting is January 21st at 10 a.m. Resolution to the chair. Can you? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Happy holidays of the year.
Yes. Certainly. I'm going to congratulate you on the shortest meeting I've ever been to.